The thing is about Ibiza, it was never really meant to be the pinnacle of club culture in any way, shape or form. But it turned into that.
In the last 50 years, the White Island has rapidly transformed from an untouched Mediterranean island to a music mecca famous around the world.
There's that kind of energy that appeals the entire world to come and party together that makes this place unique.
Ibiza brings everyone together from all different cultures and then, yeah, just come together for the love of music.
Ibiza is an island in constant flux, forced to modernize alongside the rest of the world whilst trying to remain true to its Balearic roots.
To stay relevant, whether it's clubs or DJs, Ibiza's got to be absolutely on top of every new thing that's happening.
It seems like Ibiza in general are trying to attract more wealthy people, which has a big impact on the club culture here.
Nobody in the club scene in Berlin who's running a serious club does this for profit maximization.
I think my generation people forget where we come from.
With this evolution and development, has the spirit of Ibiza been lost? Has its appeal been eroded? Carl Cox helped build the legendary club Space that is no more.
25 years I've been on the island and, of course, being at Space for 16 years non-stop. This year, I haven't played Ibiza at all.
Back in the days, it was possible to party 24 hours, 7 days a week. The authorities, they put much more regulations on the clubs.
It's the image of Ibiza. We cannot damage it, so we need to be professional and efficient. The discourse they have as social media with really powerful, more than the institutions or more than the government.
We began filming this documentary in the summer of 2018 to chart the evolution of the island. Shortly before its intended release, COVID struck. And Ibiza's famous clubs were forced to shut their doors as the pandemic brought the island to a standstill.
I couldn't imagine that in 2 or 3 days, the world stops and everything changes in our lives.
The small venues struggling to survive, they're already closing down. So I would say it's a disaster.
As Ibiza started to recover, we kept our cameras rolling and we spoke with many people.
I'm Manatur and I'm DJ from Ibiza.
My name is Chloe Kaye.
Andy McKay.
I'm Charlotte Witte.
Dwayne Lineker.
I'm Frank Noir.
Jan Pisenem.
Well, I'm Carl Cox.
I'm Juan Miguel Costa.
My name's Adrian Sterling.
My name is Kolsch.
Jessica Capath McCarthy.
Andrea, I'm an Italian guy.
I am Migor Marijuan.
My name is Norman Cook. Some people know me as Fatboy Slim.
Speaking with all these people, we built a picture of how the island is adapting and evolving.
Accommodation in Ibiza is now very, very expensive. Cost of living, you know, it's beyond a joke.
For the local people, it's now a hard time to rent or to buy a house.
Now, in a post-COVID world, how will Ibiza stay relevant, forward-thinking, yet remain attractive to its global audience and stay true to its unique heritage? The COVID pandemic changed the world, and Ibiza was no different. In all the island's long history, never had it faced such uncertainty.
I remember March 20, when I was in Italy, and, you know, the pandemic started, and I started to understand that, you know, maybe for us it was a big problem.
I'm the owner of Ushuaia High and the Night League. I decided really, really early to close. And to stop the activity totally. For me, it was a big, big loss, obviously. I just opened the club, and boom, this thing happens. It was a big hit.
I'm Anatur, I'm native from Ibiza, and I'm DJ. It's totally, it's like a desert. There is any business open here in Playa del Bosa, and there is nothing. The hotels are closed.
Being a native Ibizencan, a music producer and a DJ, Anatur was in a unique position to witness firsthand what impact COVID had on the island.
We are now when it used to be the queue to get inside the club, Ushuaia. As you see, it's totally empty, everything is closed. I feel totally desolate, like I was.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In 100% mode, and now from 100 to zero.
Never in living memory had the island been so silent, so still. An annual destination for hundreds of thousands of clubbers, a tourism-dependent Ibiza found its primary source of income abruptly cut off.
This is the site of Ibiza town, and we are in front of the Pachar Ibiza door, which is totally insane to see in that mode, because normally it's full of decoration here with the big screen on. I searched for some hashtags about Pacha, Amnesia, and people is really missing to dance and to listen electronic music. I feel sad. I cannot imagine Ibiza with no clubs. It's a very difficult time for us. If nothing changes from now until next year, will be a total disaster for the island. In the most part of the businesses, if it continues, they will close forever.
For years, the clubs have played an integral role in the evolution of the Spanish island. 30 years before the 1990s, when Ibiza had become world famous, it was the 1960s which saw the nascent development of both tourism and music on the White Isle.
Well, I came in 1964 with a bicycle to this fantastic Virgin Island. I mean, there was nothing. All you can see around my house is full of buildings and houses. There was nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was the old town, and then also what they call La Marina, and the rest was country, you know. It really was amazing.
The identity and evolution of Ibiza began to diverge from the rest of Spain in the mid-20th century, when fascist dictator Francisco Franco controlled the Iberian Peninsula. Not considering the Balearic Islands to be an important part of the motherland, the Spanish leader seemed happy for artists and dissenters to abscond to the island, out of sight and mind of the regime. What started as a refuge for these free thinkers set a trend for the island becoming a haven for liberals from across the world.
I am Vicente Torres, director of Tourism for Ibiza. Well, Ibiza is an island that it has changed a lot. Due especially to the movement of tourism. Ibiza was a very poor island in the Mediterranean, and the evolution of tourism, it has made Ibiza a really strong destination, strong brand.
I think my generation people forget that our parents were fighting very hard to have tourism on the island and to have people spending on restaurants, on hotels, on beach clubs. And I think my generation is not conscious about where we come from.
Local tourism director for the Ibiza Council, Juan Miguel Costa, knows the efforts his grandparents went to welcome visitors to the island.
Our grandfathers and our grandmothers, when they opened all doors to the people who they were coming from the United States because of the Vietnam War, it was in the 70s, the hippie movement, they come to Ibiza with money. The Ibiza wasn't not the Ibiza we know now. It was a very quiet island, a very good position, but a very quiet island. And all of our families, they opened their minds and they opened their house doors just to receive all these visitors. No? And this is a freedom feeling, no? That the people who they visit us, I think they feel.
Ibiza's always welcomed outcasts and fringes of society, from the beatniks in the 60s who avoided the draft dodge for the Vietnam War, through to the gay scene in the 70s and 80s, and also the ravers, the clubbers in the 90s. It's always been the people who are maybe frowned on or not accepted. And that's still the case now, I think, that up until recently, the island has been very accepting and tolerant of various ways of going about and living your life?
Most of the hippies that came to Ibiza were actually guys with money. Ricardo from Pasha always called them, you know, the black sheep of the good families. You know, they would come here almost to escape that wealth, if you like, and to escape Franco.
As liberal artists began flocking to the island, perhaps it was inevitable that music would flourish. And it wasn't long before the first club opened its doors.
In 1967, I organized a party in Pasha, in Sitges, a village outside Barcelona. And I told Ricardo Urgell, the owner, about the fantastic island of Ibiza. I took him here and I showed him the island. He was completely in love and decided to open something on the island. And in 1973, Pasha opened, and I helped him to do the opening party. And since that 1967, I think, I haven't stopped doing something for Pasha.
Once Ibiza's first club was established, it was Carlos Martorelli who helped bring some of the first celebrities to the island.
I was a very good friend of Elsa Peretti, the jewelry designer for Tiffany. And then she introduced me to this group of Andy Warhol, Grace Jones, Liza Minnelli, Bianca, Mick Jagger. I mean, really, really a fantastic group of people, all artists and creative people. In 1989, P.T. Urgell, the brother of the owner, Pasha, he said, I want to do party in the times of the hippie music. He invented the flower power. But in those days, there was not techno music. There was funky disco, reggae.
And this Flower Power Night has been going ever since, and it still takes place every week over the summer. It is the long history of musicians and artists being drawn to the island that has helped create this unique atmosphere.
My name is Chloe Calle. I'm a DJ, a producer, and I live in Ibiza now. I think Ibiza is not actually about the nightlife only. And I think that when you live here full time and you spend the off season here, you understand actually the magic of the island that has attracted all of these creatives across all disciplines here for the last, I don't know, 50, 60 years now. You know, I have a lot of my best friends from the island actually were born here. Their parents are here. They came here in the 70s. You know, this island has always attracted very interesting people. And I think because of that, clubs and nightlife started to circulate here and also draw more and more people on the tourism side of things.
You know, I've heard and I just know that anyone that lands on Ibiza just get this, you know, instant feeling of freedom that is difficult to explain.
From the seeds planted by those early generations of visitors, the thriving music scene grew, creating some of the world's largest and most famous clubs. As the 80s gave way to the 90s, the Balearic sound and club culture was drawing in crowds from around the world. Clubs such as Amnesia, Space and Privilege earned the island its reputation as the capital of electronic dance music. At the end of the 90s, as word spread, new promoters and clubs arrived on the island, pioneering a more underground sound, bringing a new generation of DJs and music lovers.
Started, you know, something different because, you know, the people was coming for the music to DC10. That was important. Circoloco DC10 was the music of the island. And all the DJ tried to come here, play. That was very fun. And arriving in Ibiza and the music around was very commercial. And it was like a big family or like a community, a music community, we can say, because all the people involved was involved first for the music. And we created this stuff called Circo Logo that was mixed of all nationality, all people. I think Circo Logo with also Paradise and the party that we are doing the Friday, I think it represented the big, big underground story of Ibiza, and also they represent a big party around the world.
When you say Ibiza, I think the first thing that pops to mind, especially when I speak to people that have never been here, they're like, oh yeah, it's just a party destination. You know, they imagine it's something of like a Vegas, or, you know, something with just a strip with loads of clubs and terrible, terrible music and all this stuff. And actually, when you live here, you realize, well, you've got the more commercial clubs, you've got the more underground clubs, you've got really cool underground parties.
But I do believe that a lot of things started, the roots started in the zoo, because these were very underground forms of music and very underground labels, and they weren't in the mainstream. Those artists would never play at a place like Pasha or Ushuaia. So I've seen, as it's evolved, a lot of the artists, which were very underground, they would never actually find themselves going to a club like Pasha, for example, back then, you know? Now, as underground music has become more mainstream, that basically opened the door for people to play, people like Luciano, to play at places like Pasha.
The clubs and the nightlife went from strength to strength. But after decades of positive growth, COVID was the biggest disruption the island had ever faced.
Imagine a business like this, Ushuaia and High. I have a lot of people working in both venues, plus all the team that I have all year round here in marketing, communication, sales, bookings and everything.
100 security, 200 bar staff, the billboards, the drink suppliers, the food suppliers, the cleaners. You're talking of thousands of people relying on those clubs and those venues being open for the summer.
When COVID kicked in, we had to cancel all of our May under the impression that June was still going to happen. We cancelled all of May, gave back all the money for all of May, and then as we hit June, we realised it was still going to be in lockdown, so we started giving back the money for June. While we were doing this, we were still doing promotion and marketing, driving sales for tickets, talking with people, booking DJs, all of those things were just happening organically like they did for the past 15 years.
Because of social distancing regulations, only those operating outdoor businesses such as boat rentals and restaurants with outdoor areas managed to earn through this period. In July 2020, only a handful of outdoor clubs were permitted to open. And in these clubs, new legislation meant that not only was social distancing compulsory, but dancing was made illegal.
When COVID came about, we introduced a lot of precautionary measures within the club, social distancing of all groups and all tables, no mixing between groups, maximum groups of 10, masks for all the staff. It's been very difficult. How can you have a music event with high energy without dancing? It's so restrictive.
The first year was incredibly difficult and we obviously lost a lot of money.
The indoor venues were not allowed to open at that time, and the outdoor venues had to put multiple safety measures in place to be able to open. This meant that from a financial perspective, it was a very challenging summer.
I did two shows at Rocks and two shows at Mambo, but on the proviso that no one was allowed to dance, because that was the rules of segregation and social distancing.
The event today I've been playing is afternoon into evening pool party session at Ibiza Rocks, socially distanced, with some very, very interesting rules that you don't normally have for a night out. As far as I know, I'm the first sort of named DJ to do anything this season in Ibiza.
This was cooked up by Norman, just itching to do something, and me desperate to prove that there was a way that we could still put a level of entertainment on.
Safety was our main concern. Well, safety and everyone having fun in that order.
But we did come up at Mambo, we put a big sign up saying,
eat what was it? Eat, sleep,
stay in your seat. So it begat a good meme.
And so the whole thing was this weird thing where we wanted people to tap their toes, be lively, but not too lively. And if they were stood up, it was a problem. Christ, that was hard.
Despite the island's difficult situation, for the nightclubs, 2021 saw little improvement. Facing multiple restrictions, most clubs decided to remain closed, despite the economic ruin and uncertain future that this could mean for many of them.
That was totally decided from the beginning that I was not going to open.
We spoke together and we decided, and they decided, which was the main thing, that they were not open because it was dangerous and we can damage the Ibiza brand. So they decided not to open, knowing that they were losing a lot of money and they will have problems to survive, some of them, but they decided not to open.
At the end of the summer of 2021, a lifting of restrictions meant that the clubs finally had the option to open in October. Financially, this had little benefit, and with few staff available, virtually all the clubs decided to remain closed. Only the Amnesia Group and DC10 made a unique decision.
We operated Cova Sandel as an all-seated, illegal dancing venue. Dancing was illegal. So, but then at the end of the season, we were given the right to open the venue with social distancing. So we opened on a Friday night, we closed on a Saturday night. So it was probably the shortest season in history for Amnesia.
By the end of 2021, the island had endured two devastating years. But as a new year dawned, levels of infection had fallen, restrictions began to lessen, and for the island, the future began to look positive.
My desire was always, every day, to wake up and say, okay, one day we'll be back.
The 2022 summer season began with the IMS event at the end of April, with no restrictions. Energy and excitement was everywhere. After the shortest season on record the previous year, 2022 was destined to become the island's longest season ever.
In 2022, it's going to be amazing. Everybody was waiting for the Ibiza season, and all the lineups are full, all the clubs are full on, and the party is everywhere.
I never saw the island like this. It was fantastic. I mean, that sensation of freedom again. The first parties we did after COVID were wild.
The energy coming back was kind of electric. I mean, you know, once people could come back to
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ibiza again. I've never seen an energy like that.
They were partying like no tomorrow, you know, like I'm going to party today and tomorrow until I sleep, until I fall down.
It's crazy how just the feeling of coming back mentally, so invigorating. So far, it's been ram-packed. I strongly believe this is our summer of love. I mean, I feel the kids are so excited. They're so into it. And even my energy level has gone through the roof. Yeah, the first 6 months, every night felt like New Year's Eve. It was like you just wanted to hug strangers, and it's like, isn't it just great to be together and touch each other, you know, physically but emotionally. It's kind of part of who we are.
Although everyone was excited to be back on the island, some felt that in previous years, the influx of wealthy clientele was creating a divide between Ibiza's visitors. This was made even more apparent during COVID, because only the wealthy had access to the island.
During the COVID times, it was only the wealthy that came here anyway, the ones that could afford their private jets and work remotely. And the island has definitely gone that way, but it's brought well-needed money into the economy, so can't really grumble too much.
Some of the venues have been trying to recoup their losses from the 2 years of COVID. So prices have gone up considerably in a lot of venues, which is a real shame. I think it's really affected tourism. But I think there's still that same energy for people to come to the island. I mean, we're breaking records with numbers of visitors. They just tend to not stay as long due to the cost.
We are not a cheap island. We know it. Even we have a lot of five-star hotels and a lot of luxury hotels. But the thing is that we are asking for a lot of money, but as well we are providing a very good service. And this is very important to maintain the price level.
I think the change of dynamic of the people that's coming is there's probably more affluent people coming. I think it is something that's going to slightly change in the future and people are going to be more aware of their costs.
I personally think that Ibiza is super overpriced. It's just unaffordable for a lot of people.
It does still cater to the young market. It's just slowly dying. And unless you're generating a certain amount of money, you just can't afford Ibiza. COVID has had an impact to hyperinflate all tourist locations worldwide. And now, whether you're in Bali, Mykonos, Ibiza or Tulum, the prices have skyrocketed, which kind of has changed the scene as we know it.
If you want to do it the right way, the fun way, you're gonna lose some money.
I feel like if you're very well structured in like what you want to do, pre-booking party tickets, sort of balancing your party life to your chill life, then yeah, you can do it on a budget.
There's different stuff for everyone, but you can split it between friends or you can do it as a couple and it's as cheap as you want it to be.
You can do it cheap, like you can come here to San Antonio Strip and it's like, yeah, it's cheap here. I think in Ibiza, it depends where you stay, where it's going to be more expensive. Playa Dimbosa and Ibiza Town is very expensive. If you're going to go to all the super clubs, you're going to spend a lot of money.
So I think that might be a bit problematic for the island. I don't think it's necessarily a good thing that there's such a huge difference in prices between partying on the island and, for instance, a festival.
During the summer months, as well as their Ibiza gigs, the top DJs are constantly in demand at festivals across Europe.
The first time I came here was the first time I actually saw billboards, and I'd never seen this kind of promotion for DJs before. It's the first time I saw them being superstars in that sense.
Since the 90s, a lot of things changed. The DJ was not the important figure of the night. It was the music, the vibe, the people.
Now, little by little, the eyes start to turn and everybody is focusing on the DJ. The DJ is a star. God is a DJ right now.
It's a big business with a lot of money around.
DJs lie at the heart of the club experience, and competition is fierce in all clubs to create the strongest lineup for the summer season.
Before you used to have a night at a venue. Let's say We Love, Sundays at Space, Cocoon, Mondays at Amnesia. Now it seems like the DJ is the emphasis. So there doesn't, the name of the night hasn't even got a name. It's just whoever, big names, DJ, that's the name of the night. And I think that's wrong. I think like we're putting too much emphasis on the DJ.
All the Vegas clubs and everything that you see, it's become so much of a show that you, the only way to justify the amount that they spend is to basically put the amount on the public. Now, some people will say, well, I am the one that's basically pushing up prices on the doors, which is absolutely not true. Because, I mean, no matter who I am or what I do, I have a self-worth. And that self-worth has always been basically justified by whatever I do, whatever I charge, or whatever people get from me. People 99% of the time walk away and had a great time by what I do, so I have a self-worth.
I understand the clubs have to make their money. I mean, ultimately, if you're paying 100 to 200,000 euros for a DJ, you actually need that income to make that work, you know? Otherwise, The kids are going to be paying 100 euros on the door to get in.
Big DJ fees are not such an issue in a city like Berlin.
Berlin, they're the other end of the spectrum, you know, where it's very cool, it's very underground. The superstar DJ doesn't really matter in Berlin. They don't book superstar DJs. And if the superstar DJs want to play in some of the clubs in Berlin, then they have to play for peanuts, you know, because they won't pay them. So Berlin has a very different approach to electronic music.
So if you go to try to compare Ibiza and Berlin, the club scene right in Berlin is mostly driven to make a living, to pay a fair deal to their artists and their workers. But nobody is in the club scene in Berlin who's running a serious club who does this for profit maximization.
Are rising DJ fees part of the reason for the emergence of a VIP culture in Ibiza?
The cost of running these clubs are so expensive. And the cost, you know, DJs are now, fees are now extortionately higher than they were. And I think that the general club culture has gotten more expensive. So in order to raise the bar, you know, I think a lot of club owners realize that creating this VIP culture and this table culture was the only way to kind of mark up pricing and also make more money.
I'm Frankie Noir, and we are at the Beach House in Ibiza. That's not my kid, by the way, either.
But the way Ibiza's going, I'm not sure they're interested in the little people spending the little amount of money. I think they're more interested in people spending 10 grand plus on a VIP table. But what people need to remember is this culture was built on the people that spend the money on the tickets and the dance floor and the ravers, and there is no VIP without a dance floor.
The VIP culture, or table service, is not a new phenomenon. And while COVID may have encouraged it to flourish, the last 20 years have seen the island slowly evolving to cater for it. But has this been at the expense of Ibiza's sense of freedom and unity on the dance floor?
The essence of Ibiza was that all the people was dancing together. It means that you can be dancing in the DC10 and Madonna or Jamiroquai are near you and you dance with them and there is no social class.
You could be dancing next to a billionaire, it didn't matter, or you could be dancing next to a brickie, it didn't matter. At the end of the day, you went there because that was the thing that made you feel alive, that was the thing that made you feel that you was connected with something that was going on in that club at that moment, at that time, and you're in Ibiza.
Everybody would dance together, and it didn't really matter where you were from, long as you were dancing on the floor and giving a good energy, and there was a great, it was a really positive energy that you found on the dance floors in Ibiza.
There's definitely a visible divide in the clubs. There's sections, there's security telling you you can't go into that area, whereas that wasn't really the case before.
Back in the day, you just bought a ticket to go in the club and that was it. Now it's like, there's no more for GA, you have to buy a VIP ticket. What? You know, it's like, so it's sold out or I can't go in? Well, you can, but you're going to have to spend, you know, A, B or C. But I understand if you want a table and you want a different type of night out with your friends, it's become a lucrative business.
I've seen guys spending in a night, two guys only, spending in a night 250,000 euros. They came with a plane, private plane. They spent 3 hours and they go back in the private plane. And they took some bottle of champagne, which is 250,000 euros in 2 hours' time.
And I don't see them as VIPs. You know, when we had U2 come down to party in Pasha for the Edge's 40th birthday, I saw them as VIPs. I saw Kylie Minogue as a VIP, you know, and so on. But I think it was just some wealthy guy or some guy with an almost maxed out credit card and decides he wants to max it out on a VIP table. That doesn't make him neither rich nor a VIP. So I think the old concept of VIP has been twisted round into you can somehow now buy your very importantness, whereas before you couldn't, you had to own it.
People were more discreet, possibly, before the VIP culture. Now people dress up a lot and it's all about showing your fashion.
Actually, it wasn't until I came here for the first time and had my residency at Pasha where I was like, I don't understand like why people are paying so much money, you know, to stand behind a DJ booth. Like, I want to be on the dance floor. You know, I want to listen to the music. It sounds better. And I want to be with people dancing.
Social media has definitely amplified the wish for people to be part of a VIP experience, if you will. I see it all the time. I see very young people aspiring to get the right pictures at the clubs, getting the right pictures with celebrities, or showing off with a big bottle of champagne or whatever.
Ibiza now faces the challenge of enticing multiple types of partygoer, low-income, middle-income, and the very wealthy. And this is a delicate balance.
I really do innerly hope that Ibiza finds the golden middle ground, having the room for everybody here, because that's what it always was. There was room for Freddie Mercury, but there was also room for the Balearic hippie living on the beach. And I think this is what's so beautiful about this place. And this should be the same way in the clubs. There should be room for the 18-year-olds here the first time, going in there with scrapings and going, all right, this is all I have, I want to experience this. And there should be room for the ultra VIPs spending X amount of money as they wish.
I don't necessarily like to call it VIP. I think it's more of a bottle service. People that are above a certain age maybe don't want to be on the dance floor anymore. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, as long as people can still enjoy the music.
So Ibiza is able to cater for the super wealthy and the VIPs. But prices for everyday items and the overall cost of living for everyone has risen hugely in recent years, particularly with regards to accommodation costs, and locals are perhaps facing their most financially challenging conditions in recent history.
Accommodation in Ibiza is now very, very expensive. It's impossible to pay for a person who have a normal job and makes 1,400 euros a month, because 1,200 or 1,000 will go to a room.
My name's Dwayne Nolan. I'm originally from Ireland. I've been living here in Ibiza now for 14 years. Well, I first came here in 2010 and finding accommodation was so easy. Availability was everywhere. Notice boards, there was always somebody to go to get apartments. Nowadays, it's not that simple. Everybody asks me how to get accommodation, and I don't have that solution anymore. I can't tell you. I had a five-bedroom apartment a couple of years ago, which was about 1,000 a month. Now that same apartment goes for 3,000. So when your wage is about the same price as your apartment, then we have a problem.
My name is Josh. We are in San Antonio, Ibiza, and I'm a chef here. There has been a rather large increase in price. The place that I have just started to rent, which I got lucky enough to find after 3 to 4 months of strenuous looking, is 750 all included. This place is not massive, but it's somewhere I can call home. It has a bed and a shower.
Staffing in the last few years has been obviously one of our hardest points across the island. And that is because of staffing accommodation. It's a huge problem on the island. There's a lot of illegal tourism rentals. It's understandable to a certain degree why a lot of owners are choosing to rent to tourists rather than long-term rentals for workers, but it is illegal.
Of cost of living, you know, it's beyond a joke. There's landlords that are trying to charge workers, you know, 40,000 euros or 30,000 euros in advance for a season to be able to come over and work. It's going to stop anyone wanting to come and work on the island, and, you know, it's causing locals to maybe have to move because the rental prices, I think, it can only get worse.
We need the local people, the resident people, providing hotels and providing services in hotels, restaurants, boats, everything, and we need people coming from outside. And this is maybe the main problem we have nowadays in Ibiza. There's not so much accommodation. This means increasing prices, that the people who is coming here just to work, they cannot afford this kind of prices, and this is in which we have problems. And this is a problem that we need to avoid the next year.
Yeah, the lack of affordable accommodation for workers is taking a hit on a lot of businesses locally in Ibiza and San Antonio. It's a hard situation to come into.
The shortening of the previous summer seasons was devastating for many local Ibizencans, as well as bar and club workers.
Part of the work ethic of Ibiza is you work your ass off for 5 months consistently and continuously so that you can have a reasonably comfortable winter.
As far as the beaches are concerned, we're dominated by the weather. So by the end of October, it's basically too cold.
it's very difficult that out of the wages of 4 months, you leave 12 months of the year. So you need to do something.
80% of the businesses closed down over winter. Ibiza is quiet. There's 120,000 people here. In summer, there's 500,000.
And this is what we are looking for, you see, to prolong the season, to have more months of work that allows people to live better and in a better quality.
Why people arrive when the clubs open and they leave when the clubs close? Which other alternatives do we have for the people who want to go in November on holidays?
People always think of Ibiza as this hedonist, decadent island. But if you actually come here at the beginning and the end of the season, you'll see nothing but athletes and people being really fit and healthy. So that aspect has lengthened the season for some people, I think.
There was a huge appetite from visitors from around the world to return to the island, and the 2023 season turned into the longest season on record, allowing clubs to recoup some of their losses.
It looks to me like 2023 has been the longest season of Ibiza ever.
And the summer began with the IMS event, an electronic music industry conference, which is held on the island at the start of every season.
Normally we don't do IMS until the end of May. Now we're doing it at the end of April. September is now busier than July, and a lot of that's to do with pricing. So because September's cheaper than July, a lot of people now, there's less people coming in July and a lot more people coming in September. So you're finding this sort of lengthening of the season by default, to be honest.
Normally, you know, going back 10, 15 years, the opening parties would be in June and we would close in September. Now we close the club on the 14th of October, so we're going from April to October.
For the clubs, the need to innovate and invest in the latest equipment and tech is essential.
Makes us different every year. The technology is changing and gives us opportunities to produce each time more, and the screens are each time better, and the lights are each time better, and you have products that allow my brother to create crazy scenographies, and we can do proper shows, no? Production is really, really important now, and it's evolving constantly because as when you buy a Mac 2 years ago and now it's obsolete, it's not working anymore, or it's not actual anymore. Production is in a constant evolution, so you have new tools and new toys.
How important is the sound system and production? For me, that's everything. That determines for me whether I go back to that club and play there again, or whether I say to my manager when they book me again, oh, I don't want to go back there, the music sound system was rubbish. And I think Ibiza is well known for its sound systems.
And I mean, it is quite wondrous when you walk into a venue and you get submersed in any ideas of the future of what clubbing can look like or can be like or what it is like now today. But all the now generation don't know what it was like 25 years ago.
Production values have gone through the roof. I mean, there are venues on this island that do mind-blowing things. There are visuals, there is spectacle, the quality. It's amazing.
A vibe in Ibiza that's like something else, like you wouldn't get this anywhere else. This is all about the music, the friends, it's Ibiza magic, I'd say.
It's clear that Ibiza clubs are world class. I mean, it's the Premier League of nightlife. You're talking probably more competition on this little island with nightlife than anywhere in the world in such close proximity. You know, probably upwards of 40,000 people a night can go clubbing in Ibiza. So they have to evolve. I mean, they have to evolve and bring in new ideas.
All clubs seem to, on a yearly basis,
have a new sound system, a new visual part. There's a new club standard that has come through in the last 5-6 years, I guess pioneered by Ushuaia and High. There's a lot of investment going in.
What has driven this increase in funding of the visual and audio systems?
The client is going to receive needs to be at the level of his expectation. You know, you need to receive what you are paying for, or at least what you're expecting you're going to get. When you come to Ushuaia, you come to High, from everywhere of the room, you can see the show. We use the incomes generated by everything, and there's a big part of it, which is coming from the VIP, to create the best scenography possible and the best experience possible. Every detail counts. So yes, when we draw the clubs, I calculate the distance always between every client in the venue and the nearest toilet and the nearest bar and the nearest exit. So everything is easy for everybody within the club during the experience, no?
Everything that we have in terms of music program and production, it's very much what we believe, you know, our customers will want, like, and this is why Pasha, after 50 years, is relevant today. It's a constant thinking about what to do to improve the experience for the following year.
You can come here, you can enjoy. You don't have to be in the middle of a dance floor, but you can have a dance floor if you want it. You've got some amazing DJs, amazing music, amazing production. We make sure that the production's a big part of our events.
The numbers of people, the size of the parties has increased greatly. And so we kind of need to up our game. Elro confetti hits, they move you, you know. You're just like, oh my God, I'm in a wonderland. Yeah, they're there to heighten the experience and the escapism and the hedonism. Technology just allows us to play music louder and better and illuminate it with other stuff.
Club owners are all too aware of the importance of impressing their customers. They know that to bring their clubbers back and to lure new ones in, social media can play a big role. In fact, events and clubs themselves are often designed with the customer's social media activity in mind.
You see it also in the way shows are developed now, that visuals are more important than ever. People spend extreme amounts on getting specific visuals for specific events or for specific shows.
Even the discourse they have as social media with really powerful, more than the institutions or more than the government. They need to show what happens inside. And this, thanks to the social media, it's easy to show to the rest of the world.
Social media has had a massive impact on Ibiza anywhere in the world, because you've got maybe 5,000-6,000 people putting up a story from the show. So it is very important. A lot of the clubs may talk about, you know, not having phones in there, but when you take that element away, they lose a lot of marketing value.
The scale, sophistication, and high production values of the shows at many events and club nights on the island are similar to what audiences have come to expect from any big pop band or rock group. It is therefore not surprising that the cost of putting events like these on is similar to that of many other music events or festivals. The authorities face an almost impossible task of balancing the needs of residents and the vital tourists who visit the island. Beach bars and clubs need to adhere to local laws, which include sound restrictions. Both have been subject to changing regulations over the years, as the authorities try to strike a balance between partygoers and local residents.
Back in the days, it was possible to party 24 hours, 7 days a week. the authorities, they put much more regulations on the clubs.
Yeah, I mean, there are sound restrictions. There's kind of got to be to a degree. You can't have everybody going crazy.
I think there's always going to be a constant battle between club owners and the council regarding what seems to be a sensible level of sound. Obviously, you have to respect the neighbours and you have to respect the island, but you also do need some kind of position where the council can speak to the clubs and we can come to some agreement where how we can do this in some sensible manner.
It's a point of the picture of the image of Ibiza. We cannot damage it, so we need to be in this side. We need to be professional and efficient.
I think that the governments are also trying to maintain the peace here, and they're really trying to make sure that the island doesn't lose control, and that, you know, as club goers, you're having a safe experience, but also as, you know, giving space to the island to run properly.
Getting that balance right is not easy, but having dialogue and finding the middle ground with all the various parties is essential in order to create a sustainable model for the future and help support local communities. And as in Berlin, this needs to be done in collaboration with the authorities and politicians on the island.
We are on a good way in Berlin in terms of involving the communities, involving politicians, decision makers, even to apply for money and get tax money for what we do.
They have a good culture, they like the music, everything is fine. And also they have the government with them, that is very important because we never we have here the government with us.
Before the pandemic, relationships with the authorities were often not easy.
The government doesn't know about this industry, about and also about the indirect revenue of this industry for the island. There is no agreement between the industry and the business people who forms this industry and the government.
So you have to have them on board from the very first step. You have to unite them. They have to work together. They have to find out what are the most urgent needs and also find out what could be answers and solutions for that. That we have developed a lot of solutions and a lot of ideas how you can change things, and they could adapt them and find out what is the best model for Ibiza.
In the last year, we have a new government, and they are more open to speak and to understand how the industry works and how this is relevant for the island. The regulations are not so hard as the past, and for sure during the pandemic. And the whole population of the island is more conscious about the music industry and the tourism from the island.
It's about how we deal with the positives and how we tackle the negatives. If the people want to complain about the change of the island, I think it's better to focus on how do we not lose the good parts of the island and then absorb other positive aspects which are coming in.
COVID may have been disastrous for the island, but one good thing did emerge from the difficulties.
These 2 years of tranquility, they create an association. This association tried to put everything together. And there was one voice to speak to the authorities. And then it's easy when you have one voice to speak with the local authorities. And now it's a very good understanding.
Yesterday we had a meeting to them, to the nightlife sector and to the partying sector. I mean, it's very important for us to have a fluent communication because it's a very important part of our tourism coming to Ibiza. So we need to clarify what it's allowed, what is not. There is a part of the residents that sometimes they said, oh, it's overcrowded and there's a lot of people. But as well, we know that we live in a very good condition because of the tourism. So we need to take care, of course, with laws and trying to co-live everybody in a good situation. But I think we are very used to balance these two sides. So.
With better communication, relations are improving between clubs and the authorities, which will ultimately bring benefits and opportunities for both parties.
Yeah, I think there's developed much more of a mutual respect now between the powers that be and the nightlife industry on Ibiza.
And I love to hear that it's changed finally, that there's some sort of cooperation happening that makes me, just thrills me, because that could just make this place even better.
This summer we had not many, but a couple of free parties for the population in Ibiza, in the port side, also in San Antonio. And I was reading the newspaper and they made a question. They asked, how do you think about having parties in the port side? And everybody was happy about that, which impressed me a lot, because 5 years ago was not the same mind, you know? I think it's super positive for the island.
Tourist destinations with an electronic heart are evolving fast, and many destinations would like to claim to be the new Ibiza.
Yeah, so looking at Belgium alone, you have so many festivals in summer, like every single weekend, and like if we're very close to one another, where all the same DJs are playing that are playing on the island as well. So I think that's a massive competitor for the island, especially because their prices are lower as well.
There are a lot of big festivals that you can fly wherever in Europe and you can find the same DJs that are playing here in the main temples.
Of course, you also have the music lovers that come here to combine the other things that the island has to offer with club life.
Ibiza's identity is always evolving. As well as dancing through the night, there has been a surge in visitors in search of well-being and spirituality, keen to seek out what else the island has to offer.
A lot of people is looking not just for clubbing, is looking for nature, for make some experience around the sea or around the mountains, and not just party people. And every time the business people is looking for quiet times, and I think this is a perfect place to. We have a lot of agrotourism here. You can make yoga, retiros, and now it's very trendy, this world of meditation, yoga, Pilates.
That's the thing about the island. I mean, there is, everywhere you go around it, it's different. You know, you can go fishing, do deep sea diving, you can do snorkeling, or you can end up on a nice small beach with a fish shack. It's just wonderful to be able to get drawn into this culture where a lot of places you don't get that experience.
It's just one of the most beautiful places because you've got everything from all these kind of foresty landscapes to the most beautiful beaches. It's extremely recharging being here, you know? I find it so beautiful.
So every time I come here, I like to spend a day at least longer, and then I just go to one of the beaches. You know, it's just a good switch between going to these massive mega clubs and feeling that amount of energy, and then just going to chill on one of the beaches and eat some amazing food. So I would say just like the calmness of the beaches is probably my favorite thing to do in Ibiza.
There's like a creative sense here that kind of takes me in, and I just feel really like I'm in flow with my creative space, and that I can be healthy, I can be in nature, I can work, but I can also make music and decide to see friends and go for a dance. And so it offers this flow of life here that I don't really feel like I've felt other places in the world.
When I have some time off here, I like to go hiking. But the north is amazing. There's so many beautiful areas up there. I have small little places I like to go and enjoy life a little bit. I still have some good secrets.
Whilst the south of the island is more developed, the north has evolved into something altogether less mainstream. Acacia is a club in Las Dalias, near San Carlos, and is a more intimate and laid-back club compared to the huge clubs in the south.
The north of the island is completely different. I mean, Ibiza is such a small island, actually, but it's like many things going on. It's pretty different what you see in the south, which is more kind of, I will say, more touristic and more, in terms of sound, more tech house and techno, and the north is more organic.
Ibiza is always creating new nights and bringing in new DJs. And it is this constant innovation that keeps Ibiza fresh and able to draw in the crowds.
I'd say we're the COVID generation, where, you know, a lot of us had been working before the pandemic, but when the pandemic kind of happened, a lot of us, I mean, personally, financially, was really difficult. And so we really had to kind of sit there and get creative with, like, our planning for the future. So I think when Ibiza opened up again and all of a sudden you had all these new DJs because people's eyes were way more open during the pandemic. They had time to discover new artists. You know, a lot of DJs were doing really different things on social media that were catching people's eyes. People were releasing records that suddenly became big. You know, it was just this new wave just kind of came out.
The batons have started to be handed on, which is a really good thing. And we've got a new residency on Sundays in Ibiza Rocks with Ben Hemsley. I had no idea. I mean, the energy that we're seeing at that party, it's selling out, it's packed, it's unbelievable. And you just sit there and go, my God, where's this guy come from?
Yeah, there is. There's definitely a new order of DJs that have come through. People like Patrick Topping, you've got your Amelie Lenz. But I guess this is expected with new generations. And it's brilliant. Like, it's up the game. The old guard have to kind of bring it.
Someone like Patrick Topping or Amelie Lenz, you know, that has a residency. Artists like Obi and Thomas Station, who were new residents at Circo Loco last year. Tisha, who's been coming here a lot. Mochak, who's now becoming a regular on the island. You know, a lot of these new artists are becoming, like, loved by the islanders.
You know, where Ibiza is at the moment now, you know, with the new breed DJs coming in, if you look at Frankie Wild's night at Shen, very well attended.
You know what, we're 12 weeks I think now into my residency and I don't want it to end. And I thought at this point now I'd maybe be a bit tired, burnt out. I'm not, I'm fresh, I'm ready for another 16 weeks. It's been the best experience and one of the best things that's happened to my career, and I can't wait to start the season next year.
There's a lot of new DJs up and coming, a lot of new extremely talented DJs and producers coming up, and I think it's well deserved. I think it's part of the game, and it's part of not only Ibiza, but it's part of electronic music in general. I think it's important to keep pushing forward, new sounds, new vibes, new everything.
I'm hoping, you know, looking to see what Carl Cox, one of my idols, Sasha Digweed, just a few of my idols, to say a few of what they've created over here and built here the last 20 years. I hope to build the same as them going forward for the next 20, 30 years.
Ibiza has enjoyed several golden eras and has never stopped evolving. The White Isle holds a precious place in the hearts and minds of so many, but can it continue to evolve? It seems that there is still appetite for new investment and fresh ideas. With this continued investment in Ibiza and increasing popularity of the island, it clearly has an exciting future ahead. But at what cost? Can the hippie spirit of freedom and love be kept alive? Will it still remain an affordable destination for the next generation of clubbers? Either way, there'll be some tough decisions ahead to get the balance right between preserving the spirit of the island and catering for the huge numbers of visitors that will descend each summer.
I think a lot of people within our industry are really worried that the whole VIP culture has a negative impact on clubs. But for me, it's pretty much the same as what's happening everywhere else in society. If you're on a flight, you want a better seat, you fly business class. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere in society. And it was going to come to club culture eventually.
I think for the type of music I play, at least that's what I hope as well, is that people just want to be a part of the club and just a part of the crowd and stand in the crowd and just have fun and let go and just not stand still with an expensive drink in your hand. You know, just go crazy.
Obviously, you have fantastic big clients, which everybody wants because they are spending a lot of money. But you have also other people who want to come with their families and their friends. And their big friends, they bring friends which are not really into that world, but they still want to party. So they're going to book a table, they have their private space, they come with their wife, with their friends, and they enjoy their favorite DJ in a more protected environment.
We have to remain affordable. We have to ensure that there are ways that younger people can experience this island. My belief is you fall in love with the island in your 20s and then you come back in your 30s, 40s and 50s. I do not believe this philosophy of, we'll just pick them up when they're 30. No, you won't. They just won't come. they'll fall in love with somewhere else.
The high cost and low availability of accommodation is a real challenge, and Ibiza is not the only island facing this issue. It requires real, sustained political and community-centered initiatives to find the right solutions. Can businesses provide accommodation for their seasonal workers? Can housing be reserved for key workers? Can the Ibiza authorities create legislation that protects new affordable housing when it's built, not just for this generation, but for the generations to come?
Government needs to build some affordable housing and just allocate that for workers and not let international investment funds buy the properties and sell them at or rent them at an extortionate rate.
Encouraging communication and cooperation and building communities is the only way to get the right balance on the island. It is this sense of community, of music lovers and people coming together to celebrate life, that lies at the heart of this island's appeal, and has done since the hippie era. To ensure that this sense of free spirit is not lost, it will be important to ensure Ibiza is affordable for residents and visitors alike, and balance the needs of all the people who live on, work on, and visit the White Isle.
To balance all tourism, different kinds of tourism in the island, it is not easy, and we get it. So this means that, we are used to balance in between all these kind of problems.
It's about connecting the people and celebrating life, you know, and there's not that much about celebrating life when you can't afford to get into a club and you can't afford the drinks in that club. We've got to keep fair prices. You know, we've got to keep the service levels high.
When I came, and still now, everybody is connected, and everybody's connected by music. So you still have people from every genre and every social class, I would say, talking together and spending time together. It's coming from the 70s.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
60s is coming from the hippies, it's coming from the hedonism period, it's coming from... That's in the DNA of the island.
I think the people who come to Ibiza, they still feel this magic that is still here, and they come here to enjoy the parties, the island, the beaches, the sun. This is still the same, because Ibiza, as it is, yes, it has changed, but on the other hand side, it still has all these ingredients. It's just you need to find them. It is still the party mecca of our world.
Ibiza is an island whose unique history has an almost mythical charm. It is a place that has captured the hearts of so many people from all around the world. And it is clear that although Ibiza has undergone many changes and evolved with the times, the magic is still there.
I think we're the only place in the world where you can see black coffee every week, where you can see Jamie Jones every week, where you can see Coca-Cola every week. You know, all of these artists, you will never go to a place in the world where you can see them every week, only Ibiza.
You can go listen to music in wherever, Croatia, Albania, Italy. They're all great, but I think Ibiza just gives you that unique energy that you're not going to get elsewhere, and it's just incomparable.
And I just think it's got a bit of everything for everyone. I go away in the summer sometimes to other touristic islands in the Mediterranean and kind of feel I should just have taken a holiday in Ibiza myself.
Ibiza has an incredible spiritual side, but this is something that is also amazing about Ibiza, because you have this party scene about, you know, hedonism, enjoyment, you know, dancing, connecting with other people, but then this other side that is all about this introspective journey. It lives in this island, you know, together, and this is very much what the hippies were about, and it's still here alive, just in a different way.
Ibiza is the clubbing capital of the world.
I play all around the world and I see other places who try and steal the crown, but they're just not so relevant and they haven't got that heart and soul of clubbing in the way that Ibiza has.
Went to Barcelona, went to a lot of places in the world, lived in a lot of places in the world. The only place when I come back to in the plane that I feel home is Ibiza. And this is home because there's something special about that island.